Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckwood Show, hanging out on this Thursday evening, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We encourage you to leave a comment there. As always, download the radio.com app. Make sure you have that on one of your devices. You know you're not in the car as often as what you used to be, and you want to still listen to the radio station. Do it through the radio.com app. Hit us up. Put it on your smartphone, your tablet, your smart speakers, your Commodore 64, your Sega Genesis, your Xbox, your, I don't know, your Laserdisc, Swatch Watch, Text Instruments Calculator, whatever you got for a device, just download it on to something. That way you can listen to us on the go. Social media for the station is all at 929 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms there. As always, the best way to be a part of this particular show, that would be through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself. That would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316, your water cooler talking points, 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is back in Midtown producing the show. As always, Jarvis in the building, at JarvisD90. We'll miss Jarvis tomorrow night. He will be off tomorrow night, taking another night off as we all try to use up a little bit of vacay before we get into what should be fall and, you know, obviously, hopefully college and pro football. So with that, the Big Ten made a, I don't think it was that shocking of an announcement because they've run panic mode the whole time in this. And that's what I'll say it is. I mean, I will say that they've run through panic mode through all of this. They, of course, announced today that they would be going to only, a conference schedule this year for their football. Okay? So, for their football season, it'll be just games within the Big Ten Conference itself. In a statement, the Big Ten said, quote, "We are facing uncertain and unprecedented times, and the health, safety, and wellness of our student-athletes, coaches, game officials, and others associated with our sport programs and campuses remain our number one priority. By limiting competition to other Big Ten institutions, the conference will have greatest flexibility to adjust its own operations throughout the season and make quick decisions in real time based on the most current evolving medical advice and the fluid nature of the pandemic." So, of course, they become the first Power 5 conference to change up how their fall schedule is going to look. There is talk that the ACC and the Pac-12 will move to a similar type of scenario. For right now, Greg Sankey, in a statement that he issued, said the Southeastern Conference will continue to meet regularly with our campus leaders in the coming weeks, guided by medical advisors, to make the important decisions necessary to determine the best path forward related to SEC fall sports. We recognize the challenges ahead, and we know the well-being of our student athletes, coaches, staff, and fans must remain at the forefront of those decisions. So, one is, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised the Big Ten did this. Like I said, they've run a little bit in panic mode the whole time, and they kind of have tried to make sure that they create the least amount of controversy possible when dealing in handling with this thing. You know, we've talked about, number two on this show, about the fact that would I be surprised if college football started around October 1st and they played a reduced, condensed schedule? No. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they wait a few weeks and they hold back a little bit and see how it's going to rate. Because, see, this is the thing. What is the point at which somebody's going to say it's safe to play? I mean, are we waiting until you cannot catch coronavirus anymore because there's a vaccine or this, that, and the other? Well, hell, you may not play for another year or two. Forget spring, forget fall of next year. Hell, we don't know. I mean, there doesn't seem to be this, okay, here's what we can accept and here's not what we can accept. You know, I've said the whole time, you know, having more cases was going to be expected. You can't test more people and not have people and have people stay away from everybody else and then come back in society without a vaccine or come back in and still make human contact and not expect more cases. The same number of people were always going to get infected. It's a matter of whether or not you're going to get it then, you're going to get it now, or how it's going to affect you. How you deal with it and how you keep it from spreading, you know, is the big key. And yeah, there have been scenarios, FC Dallas, you know, Nashville SC, that have pulled out of their tournaments and stuff like that. So I don't know what the threshold is that people are looking for. You know, if you're saying, well, we don't want any kids that can, you know, get positive tests, that's impossible. That could be years, years before that happens. So are you going to let a kid spend the next 3 or 4 years in college and keep his eligibility and he can still, I mean, how are you going to work out all these details? So I don't know what the threshold is of okay, we have more kids, you know, that are getting in. We have more cases. Are we building immunity? What happens when we get through this wave where all these kids, quote unquote, all these kids get this disease? Then what? You know, it's Nick Saban and people like that that are the ones that are going to be the most adversely affected. You know, it's Nick Saban's group of age demographic people that are dying from this, not Trevor Lawrence's group. So, I mean, somebody's got to set a line in this to say, okay, this is where we hit the breaking point and it stops. Not, well, we're kind of just monitoring, watching. Okay, what does that mean? We're all doing that. But at some point, what's the risk versus reward? Now, the big loser in all of this today, okay, isn't the kids. The biggest loser is the MAC, the Mid-American Conference. Now, why do I say that? Because the MAC had 11 dollar-producing games against the Big Ten this year. Well, what does that mean, Chuckery? That means when Miami of Ohio or Kent State plays against Ohio State, they get $1 million check or $700,000, $800,000, $1.2 million. I don't care what the number is. It's usually close to $1 million. Somewhere usually between $750,000 and $1.2 million, okay? They have 11 games. Let's say those games average just even $1 million apiece. That's $11 million for that conference. Well, what is all that? That's money for those guys. How do you think those teams build their weight rooms? How do you think they stay in Division I? How do you think they upgrade their facility? How do you think they build this? How do you think they do that? How do you think they get uniforms? You think they get it because of the TV contract that they get from ESPN to play on Tuesday night? You think that's where their money comes from? Take it locally. Where does Georgia State get the money to build their weight room, to buy uniforms? Not just, and miss me with the, well, it's private donors and all that. No, it's, you go play Oregon, you go play Alabama, and you got to build some revenue. That's how you do it. That's how it's not one guy funds your program. Miss me with that take. So they're the big loser in this today because obviously, you know, they're through that part of the country. And, you know, the old joke about Ohio State is that before Ohio State goes and wins the Big Ten, they go win the MAC. Because in the old days, they'd play three games in the, you know, they'd play Kent State, Toledo, and Miami of Ohio. You know what I mean? That would be three of their four non-conference games would be three MAC teams. You know, we see Penn State, Toledo, you know, Michigan, Kent State. You know, there's a lot of those kinds of games because they're regional and close and things like that. And why is it important? Because, you know, everybody gets mad about talking about the haves and the have-nots in college football. You think this does nothing more than divide that even more? You think this produces more have, you know, more of a separation between the haves and have-nots? Of course it does. It produces a massive effect on all of this. This is why I keep going back to, and I've said this, I said this from the first night they hired me, and I filled in for Mitch Evans when he was doing, what, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. And I was working with Roger, God bless his soul. I said it back then on those first nights I ever worked, that I believe college football will go to 4 to 6, I think more like 4, power conferences of 16 teams each, and those 64 teams will compete for the big prize and trophy. And everybody else, I don't know. I don't know where you fit. And you know, we had Bill Bender on last night. Bill may or may not remember. Him and I, 6-7 years ago, were talking about, I told him, I said, why would the group of five not go and put their own playoff together, make it an 8-team playoff to make it different, and go do that? Because all you've done today is put a bigger wedge between the Kent States and the Toledos and the Akrons and the Ohio Bobcats of the world versus the Ohio States. And guess what's going to happen if the ACC and SEC do the same thing? The same thing will happen to the Sun Belt Conference. Same thing happens to the Mountain West Conference or the AAC. You know, those conferences will be getting left out of you know, the ability to make big paydays because they need that revenue. Alabama wants to win to play their guys and beat up on Georgia State. Georgia State wants the $1.2 million check that comes along with it. That's a lot for those programs to have to sacrifice and give up. So I think that we will, listen, I think at least 3 Power 5, probably 4. You know, I could see the SEC doing some regional stuff with their football schedule. You know, they could still play Georgia Southern and Georgia State. Hell, is it any different playing Georgia Tech traveling or Georgia State traveling? Are you telling me that Southern State and Tech are any further to have to play for teams traveling to than Auburn, Missouri, South Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee? Are you telling me that potential road trips to any of those schools is any different than going within your own conference? No. No. So, you know, I'll say again, just like the SEC was the last to announce that they were going to go virtual media days and things like that, they'll be the last to decide. And this also tells you, too, the other byline to this, every conference is in for himself. There is no, hey, the Power Five is you. Everybody's going to do what's best for them. From financial to safety to whatever it is, they will guide their own path. Which is why I think that the Power Five schools would love to get rid of the NCAA in a lot of ways and let them make their own way. Let them decide and make their own way without this, you know, mythical figure, Oz-like figure that sits up over them and quote-unquote, you know, rules and judges and arbitrates over what they do. But they're all in it for themselves. There was no groupthink with the SEC and ACC about the Big Ten's decision today. They're doing whatever they want to do, which is fine. I don't have a problem with it. They got to do what's best, and I'm all about go do what's best for yourself in all of this. Now, unfortunately, too, the other aspect of this is the fact that the media, you know, is you know, there is gloom and doom. I mean, in all honesty, you know, it's hard to read. You know, we're going to hear from Pat Forty, who was on with, John and Hugh. Dukes and Bell today. You know, everything is doom and gloom. If the Dan Wolkins of the world have their way, they'll never be sports again. Because, hell, I mean, they're until you get that perfect scenario to it, a lot of these guys are like, oh, how can we have this? There's always going to be risk and reward in anything that you do. So, as I said, speaking of Pat Forty, who has an article, by the way, that I read earlier this evening. He joined Dukes and Bell earlier today. We'll let you hear that interview coming up next. That is the John Chuckwa Show. Hanging out with you on this Thursday evening. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it on the John Chuckwa Show. Hanging out with you on this Thursday evening. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. As always, make sure to have the radio.com app downloaded on your device to catch us on the go. Also, too, follow us on social media at 929TheGame, at JMCH316, at JarvisD90. Jarvis, can I say that if loving air-fried chicken legs and then coating them in Carolina mustard sauce, if that's a sin against God, then I'm going to spend the rest of my life in hell. Because I just polished off four of those bad boys. They are so good. Oh, I'm telling you. Like, I think I did 16 minutes at 400 degrees. Then one more minute after they had set for a while, I put like one more, to heat them back up, just like one more minute at 400 degrees. Put them in that big freezer bag. Put that Carolina mustard sauce, pour it in there, shake them bad boys up. Oh. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. You want to talk about, like, heaven? I'm telling you, man, this air fryer thing, I don't know why I waited so long to get an air fryer. I definitely missed out, man. I apologize to my listening audience that I'm always behind the time. You know, I'm not very technology. You know, people be like, why don't you watch this on DVR or this or that? Dude, I don't even have DVR. I don't know what DVR is. I know I hear about it in the concept, and you, like, record shows and go back and watch them later on, or people, like, can binge watch. I don't have time to binge watch. I don't have time to sit down and watch shows, you know, and catch up on everything. Man, if I don't see it live, I got to, like, get the highlights or go back or whatever. I don't have time for all that. I literally don't have time for all that kind of stuff. So I'm always way behind the technology of all of these different things. So I've missed out for a while on the air fryer. It is just so quick and easy to get into everything. We'll get to what's bugging Chuckwa here in just a minute. But I did want to say this is a pretty cool story. Congratulations goes out to Tori Miller. It was announced earlier today. She's the first woman to hold the title of general manager in the NBA's G League. She has been made the general manager of the College Park Skyhawks. Here in Atlanta. So congratulations to her. You know, our friend of the show, Sarah Spencer, reported it earlier today on AJC's, on the AJC. But, yeah, she takes over, she'll take over that role, and she's a native of Decatur, Georgia, graduated from the University of Miami. She was the assistant general manager on July 30th, promoted to assistant general manager on July 30th, 2019, spent 2 years as the manager of the basketball operations in both College Park and Erie, and then actually did some work for the Phoenix Suns back 2014 through 2016. So congratulations to her on being named the general manager of the College Park Skyhawks. So a very cool thing, very cool to see that that happen, and, of course, right here in our hometown of Atlanta, GA. All right, speaking of cool things that can happen, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right. You guys got to help me understand. We were just talking in these last couple of segments about this whole college football and how they're looking at the pandemic and this, that, and the other. Because what they're telling me is there's more risk involved in traveling to Atlanta or Statesboro for Georgia than there would be traveling to Missouri. Okay? If it makes sense, help me understand that playing Tech, State, Southern poses greater risk than Missouri, Tuscaloosa, College Station, if they had to go there. I know they're not going there, but just, you know, or Baton Rouge or whatever. You know, Gainesville, Florida. Now they don't play Gainesville, obviously, but Jacksonville. Whatever. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So here's what Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network tweeted out earlier today. Said that NFL teams will be forbidden from post-game interactions within 6 feet of each other, and jersey exchanges between players will be prohibited during the 2020 season, according to sources. Now, help me understand this, okay? So, physical contact for 60 minutes with one another, where you sweat and spit and snarl and bleed, all of that. You go through all of... Actually, God, let me sit up here a little bit. Hold on. Let me get seated up here and everything like that, because I'm going to bend over and I'm going to get angry in just a second, okay? Make sure I understand it. You sweat, you bleed, you spit, you tackle, you roll around, you physically contact with one another, you go at it, you punch, you kick, you bite, you do all of that. But you damn sure better make sure you social distance after the game. I keep telling you, everybody has lost their mind. I'm not saying that after the game you need to have a Royal Rumble. You don't need to have Survivor Series. The five that strive to survive. But after you've done all that, after you've spent the last whatever number of hours competing for your lives against one another, it's not until after you've done all of that that we go into the, hold on a second, whoa, hold on, we got to socially distance. You know what? Take your jersey off, toss it to the guy 6 feet away, and he tosses it if that's what you're going to do. Does everybody lose their mind? Does anybody have one ounce of common sense left in them? Anybody? Is there anything left when people come up with these things? We were laughing last night at the MLS. Players on the sideline in their mask as they're spitting, snotting, snarling, bleeding, pushing, kicking, scratching, biting each other on the field. Then when you get to the side, oh, now I got up. Now I got to mask it up. Huh? What? As Hugh Douglas would say, what? Why do we, listen, why does everything have to have these ridiculous symbolism types of things? Oh, you know, we don't want players to come in contact with one another after the game. Yeah, we don't. I'm not saying that you should go out there and promote them hugging and kissing and, you know what I mean, because they all got the same agent or whatever like that. You know, you can actually take your jersey off, toss it to it. Are you telling me that a jersey can't travel? How about this? Take your jersey off, set it down on the ground, walk 6 feet back from it, and let the guy go grab it. And then he does the same thing. Or you both take your jerseys off at the same time. One guy goes up and grabs yours. The other guy, I mean, the idea like you're protecting players. Because this will be determined. Oh, we want to keep our guys safe. They can spit and snarl and snot and bleed and puke and bite and wrestle and tussle and shove and push and punch and kick and scream for hours on end. Now we've got to be safe. That whole jersey exchange thing, that's how we're keeping. We're all about safety, by God. And they can play one of those catchy jingles underneath it. I'm telling you, everybody has lost their mind in this thing. And again, people are going to say, well, what's the big deal and all that kind of stuff. You know, if you're going to go to the trouble to let these guys battle it out on the field under these conditions, then let them have their moment of glory at the end. You know, seriously, if you're gonna go out there and you're gonna go and battle in these conditions and battle through these things, then let them have their minute. Like I said, I'm not telling you that they need to get 60 guys all together in a circle huddle and you know, have a limbo contest or something. They don't need to have a Survivor Series 5-on-5 match. But is it really a big deal to... Because, again, the problem is the NFL is going to try to sell you on, we're being safe. We're being safe. Yeah, we got these protocols that you know, we're putting in place, you know. Listen, don't look over here at the spitting and the snarling and the snotting and the bleeding and the biting and the scratching and the clawing and the shoving and the pushing and the kicking and the breathing heavy. Don't look at all those things and the sneezing and the snozzing and the schletzing and the schvitzing. Don't look at all those things. That jersey thing, we're keeping them safe, by God, and I'm the commissioner. What's he going to wear? An Uncle Sam hat, Roger Goodell, and point his finger? We're keeping you safe. It is. Every night I come on, I find one of these stories, and I'm like, really? That's what they're going to sell, huh? That's what they're going to try to sell me on. That this is how we treat safety. You know what? Maybe everybody should just cancel for the year. Maybe everybody should just cancel. And we'll talk about our favorite movies of all time for the rest of the year. I don't know. All right, when we get back from the and that's what's bugging Chuckery, by the way. When we get back from the top of the hour, it will be time for our Falcons flyover. We'll get to all of that next. This is John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio Nights on the Game, and on the radio.com app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.